Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. What a beautiful day it was today, and yesterday as well, and the day before. Not, you know, I look out the window, not a cloud in the sky, and I probably should be down the beach, but I'm not. You know, actually, it's gotten a little chillier, so I haven't been. But without further ado, I'm so excited to have this wonderful, wonderful photographer on my show. I'm trying to think. I've only had one other a friend of mine who is a videographer and a photographer on. So, Frank, you're the second photographer, and I've been doing this for 3 years. So I really am so excited to do it because I love photography. Oh, okay, so here we go. Everybody knows it's the wonderful, fabulous, fine art person, photographer, fine art photographer, Frank Stefanko. Welcome, Frank.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I just wing it. You know, whatever comes out of my mouth, that's it. I said my prayers already. The Pope is getting off of the plane. I ran in here. I said, oops, can't watch the Pope get off the plane. I'm coming in. I'm with Frank. So how are you, Frank?
I am very well. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be
good.
Here.
Good. Good, good. I was very impressed, of course. I read what you sent me, and I looked at your photographs and became more familiar with there was three. Actually, you know who I interviewed that is a photographer as well, and I keep forgetting that. We're really good friends, is Carrie Potter Devening, and you know who she is, I'm sure. She's the granddaughter of the Upstage, the people that ran the Upstage of the Potters. But anyway, getting back to you, I want to say, I'm going to ask you the one question because we only have a half an hour, and then I just want you to tell us all about your life and everything. So the question is, and I know the answer because I read everything about you, is who influenced you the most when you were growing up and why?
In terms of photography or
anything.
Well, my biggest influence was my father. He was my role model, and he was a hard-working guy. He was a carpenter, and he had some pretty good ideals about how to live and what you're supposed to do. And so he was my biggest influence growing up until I, you know, got into music and photography, and then I had a myriad of influences in music growing up in the 50s and 60s and listening to all kinds of music from rockabilly to rock and roll to, you know, everything that came on the radio. But also in photography, I was influenced by some of the really great master photographers like Edward Steichen and Alfred Stieglitz and some of the more contemporary photographers like Dion Arbus and Ralph Gibson, and you know, it's just I guess when it comes to influences, too numerous to mention.
Yes. What about, is it Ansel or Ansel Adams?
Ansel,
what's his first
Ansel
name?
Adam. Yeah,
Ansel
he was a
Adams.
Great, he was a fabulous landscape photographer.
Yes.
Did a lot of his work out in the Yosemite Valley in California and that area.
Right.
He was the master of zone photography. If you look at his work, he has black blacks, white whites, and every shade
right.
of gray in between. He was
right,
very
right.
good at his craft, and he shot
yes.
with very large cameras.
Mm-hmm. I notice myself, just being a musician and knowing a lot of musicians, that a lot of musicians have that. We have that all, we're all senses, I think. All of our sensory perceptions are like active all the time, I think. And I mean, my brother is a phenomenal photographer as well, and a lot of people don't know that about Billy, but in addition to, you know, being the featured artist at Soap, so, you know, the Sounds of Asbury Park. And you probably know Billy. I don't know if I ever asked you that question, Billy Ryan, the guitar man. And he went, I've heard of him,
but I've never met him. Yeah.
And so, and I love taking photographs. I absolutely have done it like I'm just an amateur, of course. I don't, all I know is what I see, you know, and I and I've been told I take really excellent photographs.
Well,
the most
that's the whole thing. It's how you see.
How you see it, right.
A lot of people, like I've said this a million times before, a lot of people will, you know, walk right past something that's super worthy as a photograph and never even see it, you know, never
right.
even notice it. But a photographer, a true photographer, a true artist, and, you know, if you're an artist, you've got to be, you got to have a little bit of sensuality with you, and you got to have a little bit of intelligence with you, and you've got to have a little bit of romanticism with you. And if you put all those things together, then you can be an artist. And that doesn't mean necessarily being a photographic artist. You can be a painter. You can be a photographer.
Right.
You can be a musician. You can be a writer, a singer. It's just that it's how you look at things and how you perceive things and then how you relate those things back to an audience that will
mm-hmm.
witness your work, either by listening to your music or looking at your photographs or,
right.
or anything in between.
Right, right. Yeah, and the most part, the funnest part, the funnest, I don't think that's in the dictionary, but the best time I had was when I went to Ireland, because I'm very Irish. Well, I'm Irish-German, but it was so beautiful over
there. I heard that. Your name's Ryan, right?
Yeah, it was so absolutely gorgeous over there, and so I had a wonderful time, and I took pictures of those gorgeous sheep that have all the black, you know, they're the beige with the black long faces and hair, and the landscapes were so awesome, and the rivers, and then I took a picture of the Blarney Castle, and I mean, I'm a real romantic anyway, I think, at heart, but in addition to being a singer, songwriter, guitar player, and then I, you know, well, this isn't about me, but, you know, this is why I do this show, and it's because I love talking to other people that are in love with the arts. And your father being a carpenter, that's like a craft and an art. And my father was also a carpenter, and he built boats first, and then he, you know, he built buildings after that. And so, you know, and we see things. To me, it's just wonder. You know what I was thinking, and then I have to just, you have to tell me, Nancy, just keep quiet, because we don't have a lot of time and you have to talk. Just, that's okay, because really, I still don't have my egg timer. I need an old-fashioned egg timer that you just flip over, and then after 3 minutes, that's it. I shouldn't even talk for 3 minutes. I need
okay,
a 1 minute.
Okay, 5:37, Nance.
Yeah, okay. So, Frank, that's the only question I'm going to ask you. But what I want to say is, when I read this, the key to the universe... The key to the universe, when your dad, and you tell, please tell people about this old box camera that was directly handed to you by your father. Tell that story. At what age?
When I was 8 years old, I found an old box camera in a dining room drawer in a buffet, and I asked my father if I could borrow it, and he said, no, you can have it. And he went out and got mm-hmm. some roll film and showed me how to load it up. And I went out in the streets of North Camden, where I lived at the time, which
wow.
is right across the Delaware River from Philadelphia.
It's
and,
beautiful
there,
too, in Delaware River.
Well, you know, it was the city, but it was different in those days. In any event, I wouldn't want to – well, never mind.
I know. I wouldn't go now by myself. No.
But, you know, we went out and took some photographs, you know, snapped a few shots, and – and then now the next step is you have to rewind that film, and then you have to run down to the drugstore and put it in the envelope and give it to the man, and then wait a couple of weeks for it to come back after they process it into snapshots, you know.
Right.
So I couldn't wait to see what I did, and, you know, and I'd go and I'd look at my pictures and I'd say, okay, you know, they're okay, but I can do better, and I'd get a couple more rolls of film, and I'd go out and I'd do it again, and then I couldn't wait to go back to the drugstore and see what I got. And that's,
right.
that's how it started as 8 years old. And I said in one of my books that it's the one constant in my life that, you know, photography was in a crazy, you know, evolving life. Photography was the constant.
Right. And in those days, I don't want to age you or anything, but you already said that you grew up during the 50s, and you're a 60s generation person, as I am as well. But they didn't have color film in those days. They just did have the black and white, correct?
No, they actually did have
they
color
did have
film
color?
Yeah, it was Coda,
oh,
Coda
cool.
color. And, yep. Mm-hmm. But
oh, okay.
I think one of the actually one of the things we did was in the cover I did for Bruce's Darkness on the Edge of Town album,
mm-hmm.
we actually... One of the things we did was kind of give that a color of an old, you know, give it the tone of an old Kodacolor snapshot, that it looked like
oh,
it
okay.
was something that somebody may have pulled out of a drawer mm-hmm. back in the day, you know.
Right.
It's not the vibrant colors that, you know, that we do these days. We kind of made it look like that.
Oh, I know. Some of the colors that you see, like what, you know, I do so much promotion on Facebook and on LinkedIn and Twitter, and I see some of the photographs, and I go, that's not really just a photograph. That has been definitely enhanced because, like, for instance, I've seen some of the new fall photographs that are coming out on Facebook, and I go, no, those colors have definitely been enhanced because I've never seen anything that quite that brilliant before.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
if you were to have watched the latest, the new episode of Survivor that came on last night, and you look at those.
I did not, but
well, if you ever do, you'll see colors that are just unreal. And I mean, what they do is they just saturate the colors, they enhance it to the point where it's just, you know, it's just so, it's mind-blowingly colorful, you know.
Right.
And you look
right.
and you say, wow. Look at that island. Look at the green in those trees. Look at the blue of those water. You know,
right.
is that the way it really looks? Well, no, it doesn't. But, you know, it's okay.
I'd rather,
but, you know, that's television.
That is, and they the more, you know, more is better, and all the, sometimes it's the most simplistic things, I think, are the most awesome to me. I like to see, because I know there are parts of the world that are, like, so outrageously gorgeous, like Multnomah Falls is one of the tallest falls, and my daughter lives in Portland, and every time mm-hmm. I go there, I go to Multnomah Falls.
That has that big bridge that goes across the bottom.
Yes,
right?
And I've been on that bridge, yes.
You were talking
about
Ireland, and a good friend of mine who owns a gallery in Washington, Govinda Gallery, Chris Murray,
mm-hmm.
every year, every summer, he and his wife go. Their family is from County Cavan, and and so every year they go to Ireland for a month and a half.
Oh,
and
gosh,
I
would love to do that,
Chris. I said, you know, I mean, Chris, my wife and I, we go to Tahiti and Australia and Hawaii,
oh, right.
and up in the you know the Canadian Maritimes and. You know, all these places to do photography, you know, and you keep going back to Ireland. He says, well, it's beautiful there, Frank, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't matter where you go. It's just how you feel and what you see.
Right.
And
have
how you
been
it.
To Ireland?
No. That's
have you been to?
My wife has been to Ireland, but I've never been to Ireland.
Oh, it is really, I must say, it is a beautiful, beautiful country. And it's quite, there are quite a lot of rugged areas as well, kind of, you know, rocky and cliffs and, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah, my wife skipped around the Giant's Causeways and, you know, and some of these great, great moors. And,
the castles.
And, you know, I've been to the English countryside, but I've never been to Ireland.
Oh, well, it's... Okay, well, I haven't been to England, but so I hear it's kind of a little similar, and as is Scotland, maybe. England maybe a little less ruggedy. pardon me?
Perhaps not as green as the Emerald Isle.
Right, not as green as the Emerald, right. But I did go to the top of the Blarney Castle, and when I did not kiss the Blarney Stone, though, because I'm kind of a germaphobe, and I would have to have something in between there, you know, like I don't know what. But but I came down, and it was funny, because at the time I was married, my ex said to these people, they said, oh, so how did you enjoy it? Oh, you're Irish, said the red hair, you know, and the blue eyes, he said, oh, yeah, he said, but my wife didn't kiss the Blarney Stone because she's already got too much of the Blarney. And I'm like, okay, thank you very much. Maybe that's why I'm doing radio. Tell me about, please, about more about your doing, you know, all of the, you know, Bruce Springsteen photographs and how that came about and, you know.
Well, that came about
so-and-so.
Via, yeah, I was a big fan of Bruce before I ever photographed him, before I ever even met him, and I was also a good friend, and still am a good friend to Patty Smith, who I went to college with in South Jersey. And when Patty went to New York and got, you know, started getting famous, I told her to look out for this guy Bruce Springsteen, that I thought he would be famous someday because he had a tremendous amount of talent and great personality, and you know, he had everything that it takes. And so Bruce saw Patty backstage at one of her shows, and Patty said, you know, you're going to be famous someday. My friend Frank from South Jersey said so.
And then, that's great.
And then Patty called me up one day and said, Bruce is looking at some of the photographs you did of me, and he really likes them, and he's working on a new album called Darkness on the Edge of Town, and would you like to photograph him someday? And, of course, you know, this was the guy that I, you know, he was my music idol. He was the guy
right.
that, I thought his music saved the world, because prior to that it was bubblegum music and, you know, disco music, and, you know, just it was...
Right,
Music didn't have any substance, didn't have any content, didn't have any soul. And, you know, and then here comes Bruce and the E Street Band rocking and just, you know, great lyrics and great music, all syncopated and everything.
Right.
And so it was... So, of course, I said yes. And then we got together a few months later, and we started photographing, doing photograph sessions for Darkness on the Edge of Town. That was in 1978. I got the cover for Darkness, and 2 years later I got the cover for The River in 1980.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And then we worked in 1982 on Nebraska. I didn't get that cover, but I got a tremendous amount of photographs out of that shooting session.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been friends ever since. And
yeah, that's
every
terrific.
Once in a while he'll call for something, and we get together, and he called me in 2004 for a shooting session. I was with him in Sweden in Gothenburg in 2012, when he that was a great show. Danny Clinch and I were actually up on the stage on the wing,
cool.
shooting the concert from that perspective. And
I just met Danny a few
weeks ago.
Well,
Danny's a great guy for you to interview. He's a local.
Oh, I'm going to absolutely
he's
going
a Tom's
to.
Tom's River guy, and he's got a lot of great stories to tell.
Oh yeah,
he's
he
a
was
good guy, and he should be with us on Sunday at Monmouth University for the Bruce Springsteen A Photographic Journey show that we're doing
right.
at the Recknicks Hall's Di Matteo Gallery this Sunday the 27th, which is open to the public. And, we're going to be there. Danny Clinch, myself, Eric Miola, who did the album cover for Born to Run, Ed Gallucci, and Barry Schneier, who did photographs from that club in Boston that John Landau said, I have seen the future of rock and roll, and its name is Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that quote several times.
Perhaps, and it's a little difficult geographically, but Pam Springsteen's work will be in that show as well, from her, a lot of the photographs she did of her brother, Bruce, and she may or may not be there. I'm not sure, because
uh-huh.
she has to come in from California, so that might be it.
Right.
Bit of a hike for her, but we're all going to be there, and Bob Santelli from the Grammy Museum is going to do hold a round table discussion for all the photographers on, you know, in our life and our work with Bruce Springsteen, and there'll be photographs from all the photographers I mentioned, about 8 photographs each, showing actually a chronological evolution of Bruce's life from when he was very young to, with Danny Clinch's photographs, the most current. So
right, that's great. What time does it start again? What time
it'll,
does it start?
We'll be there between 1 and 4, and the round robin discussion for all the photographers that Bob Santelli's going to chair, that I think is going to start around 2:30.
Okay, and can you tell me again what part of the university it's going to be in?
It's at the I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's the Recknicks Hall at the
Recknitz
Hall.
N-I-T-Z City Hall. Okay.
And it's okay, at the great. Di Matteo Gallery. Now, if anybody wants to go and they're not sure where it is, what you do is you go online and look up Monmouth University and bring up mm-hmm. their campus map, and the hall is number 14 on the campus
number 14.
Map,
okay.
So they'll be able to see where it is.
Yeah, I've been in their studio because I did a 3-hour show when we were doing a big. I think it was for. I think it was for Clarence Clements at Bar A, and I went over and they asked me to bring my guitar, and I did, and I sang a few songs. But getting back to like what you're doing, that sounds really phenomenal, and I think I'm going to have to. I'm so close. I mean, I could like
walk
there.
Well, we had this show
originally.
It opened, like I said, it's part of the Grammy Museum show, and ultimately
right.
it will end up at the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles. But we opened the show about a year ago at the Woody Guthrie Museum in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it had a great turnout. But you know, and it was just wonderful. But that was Tulsa, Oklahoma, and this is West Long Branch, New Jersey.
That's right. That's
Bruce
right.
Springsteen country. This is home.
Exactly.
Like I said, this is the state that Bruce lives in, that I live in, that Danny lives in, and I suppose you live in. So.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that a lot of folks from New Jersey come out and talk to us photographers and look at the photographs. They're also going to have a large, each photographer, where their work is put up, there'll be a large screen, you know, flat screen
mm-hmm.
TV with a loop on it with an interview, and you can put on earphones and listen to, you know, some of us talk about our work, and we'll
right.
be there to talk to folks and.
Yeah,
I've been
to galleries that have that. That's a cool way to, yeah, that's cool. I was remiss then in not adding this information in all of the promo I did because, well, actually, you know, I did it all over the darn universe, so it's just worldwide
well, I made sure
promotion.
I got it. I figured, you know, now that we're at 5:51 p.m., I figured I'd get that information in.
Oh, no, we needed that, but I don't, you know, I'm just saying, shoot. I mean, I should have said, well, what's your big upcoming event? See, you live and learn. I mean, this is usually I'll see that something is coming up or, you know, the person, I was just remiss in saying, hey, Frank, what's happening, like, you know, next week or next month? Because that would have been perfect to put right in the promo, be at Monmouth College. This date and this time.
This Sunday.
Really, but you know what?
Be there on
but you know
Sunday.
What? I can do what? I know it's Sunday and today's Thursday, but what I can do, and I'm going to try, I mean, sometimes I get like, well, I'm up most of the time, but when I put the interview on in the comments section, I can put Sunday the 27th, Monmouth College, be there to see your work, you know, and meet you live and meet some other artists. I won't go in naming any other
these are all
photographers.
Very good photographers. I mean, Danny
but I'll just,
done at
yeah.
least three of Bruce's albums, and
right.
Eric Miola, who's a world-class photographer
yeah.
in his own right, is did the Born to Run album. These are all,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I'll just say other Bruce Springsteen photographers because I don't want
okay.
to really use their. But anyway, we're people don't need to know that really. But
well,
this is so laid
like
back. My show. We talk about everything, right? And it's like it's very exciting. It's like the way I met Danny Clinch, and I had been wanting. I listened to his music last year. And I thought it was phenomenal. Somebody, a friend of mine said, you got to listen to this guy, Danny Clinch. And I said, okay, I will. And I did. And he was so great. And then I tried to connect with him on Facebook. I should have tried to connect with him on LinkedIn or tried to find out who his promoter or producer was. But anyway, it just went, and I just moved on, you know, next. And I was asked a few months ago to be in a documentary about growing up in Asbury Park and about Bruce Springsteen since I have early childhood memory, not early childhood. I was pretty young, actually, when he was coming. Like, he asked, my brother was going to be his lead guitarist. He was 5 years older than Bruce. But he said, no, Bruce, I'm going to have children and I have a business and blah, blah, blah. But to make a long story short, he did go on tour with the James Cotton Blues Band as lead guitarist. And then he went on tour
great
for a year
band.
And a half with,
James
yeah, then he, yeah, then he went on tour with, for a year and a half with Clarence Clemons and the Red Bank Walkers. And I met Clarence in my brother's house, and we were friends his whole life. And, you know, he was so, Nancy, you go for it, girl, you go for it. Like, as far as promoting my music, he loves my music. Did I send you my album, by the way?
No, you haven't
did
done
I send
that
you?
Yet. I've seen pictures of you on Facebook singing. But
In a private message, I'll just stick it on there. You can just go and click on it, and you'll hear it. But,
okay.
Yeah, I have a song that's been consecutive for 3 years in the top. I was number two, but on the country, you know, local country thing. And I don't even promote it because then I got into radio. That's how I got into radio. The Joey Reynolds Show called me. But there I am, back about me. Forget that. I don't like to do that. But it happens because I'm a musician and I'm now a radio broadcaster. And I just love radio and my poor music. I have like 100 songs and I really should, like, I'm not going to say should, but I would love to do another album, of course. But, and I had Steely Dan was my lead guitarist on my album, John Harrington with Steely Dan. And I worked with Jeff Levine, who you might know, and he was with Hall & Oates for 9 years. And he was the touring keyboard player with Joe Cocker. So I had great, great people on my, they were, in fact, I said, thank you guys, because without them, I think I would have just thrown it in the trash, you know, because I wasn't pleased with the lead guitar that I had. And then Jeff got me John Harrington, who will be on my show in next month. But
so
I don't want to promote anything.
You're a country artist?
I am a singer, songwriter, guitarist, yes. My brother taught me my first four, yes. And a record producer, because when I went into the studio, I said, well, it was a compilation recording. I recorded with Dennis Gilley's nephew in Texas years ago, but I don't want to talk about me. I'll just send you a copy of it. And
okay.
Then I went from
funny
that.
The only reason I said that is I know a really
yeah,
little...
Yeah, it's rock, country rockabilly, I call it.
Yeah,
you know, somebody said, oh, you're
a
country
singer.
There's
a gal down in South Jersey named Jennifer Dixon Rainey, who's a country artist, who's... from Kentucky, and she's been playing a lot of the clubs in South Jersey, and she's very good.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you might have run into her at some point.
No, but I've interviewed Nikki Breyer, and there's a lot of other people that women that I interviewed, you know, a lot of women artists and a lot of male artists, and I've had Vinny Lopez in my studio twice already, and he's supposed to interview me. But he said, oh, well, getting back to the thing how I met Danny Clinch is that I was asked by a girl in Italy that's doing a video about Bruce and his life, and I wish I had known before to have you come down and do an interview with her. But it all happened so fast that she called me and she said, well, we're in Asbury Park, Nancy. And I had interviewed Michelle Moore like about 2 years ago. I was asked to interview her and did. And she came all the way to Trenton. Now I don't go anywhere. I'm in my house right now. I have my own, it's my own radio station, Ryan Rocks. That's it. I don't have to travel. I don't have to
that's
have people
great,
come from New York.
Knows, you don't have to go to the studio.
I'll tell you what, when I did this and made that news flash that I did four shows that month because everybody was calling me. Willie Nile sent me an email. Nancy, will you interview me on Wednesday? Because I'm leaving for Spain on Saturday. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm going to jump as high
Willie,
as Johnny
Willie
Cox
is a very good friend of mine. He's one of the
I love him. I love
best
him.
People
love
around.
Him. Yeah, he is. He really is. So, of course, I did interview him. And people call me, you know, and they're like, well, I have this going on. Now I'm, you know, the thing is, I would do a show. I would do so many shows, but it's so much promotion before and after. It's like hours and hours and hours, maybe 6 hours. Now I've got it down to a science, so maybe 6 hours altogether. That's a lot of time. So, you know, I'm retired now, so... but I want you to talk more because I loved your photograph.
Well, we can.
And
we
didn't...
only have 2 minutes, Nancy. What
no,
are
no,
we
no, we
do?
No, we can go. No, we can go over. No, we can go over. It's all right. They say that you probably didn't even hear it, but did you hear it that they said 90 seconds?
No, I didn't
no, you
it.
Didn't, but I do. So, but no, they really like me, Nancy Ryan Rocks, and they'll let us go over. So please say more stuff. Whatever you, I mean, we'll do another interview down the line. But I probably need to expand my time to like an hour. But
yeah, I think an hour would do. I've done some interviews with Camille Conti, and she usually does at least 45 minutes, something like that.
Yeah,
it gives me enough time to get to the substance matter. Yeah.
Right. But, hey, we can see the substance. And I did not post any of your photographs because I didn't really know if you wanted me to do that or not. And it would have been difficult for me to do that because I would have had to, like, upload them all, and I just didn't want to get into doing that. But if you want me to, I would be happy to post your photographs on my page. Oh, I have three pages. I have Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style, and then I have Inside and Outside the Fabulous Grand Arcade. So anything
well,
you that you want.
Well, you can use anything that I sent you, but just be sure to put the photo credit
oh,
on
of course.
There.
Oh, of
I
course. It would,
for that.
Oh, it would say photo. It would definitely say photo credit, Frank Stefanko,
me.
Of course. Yeah, you. It would say you real big in capitals. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, just put a big U there. That's all. That'll work.
You. You. Yeah. But, oh, it's just so great to talk to you. And like I said, I love photography. And I mean, just what was it like when you were, like, there, right there, like, on the stage? Like, when you and Danny Clinch were together, both on
well,
that stage,
that was really
with all of those people. What's it like, the energy? Because I only
yeah,
went to
well,
two
no,
of his
I mean, you're on the stage.
Concerts.
That was kind of a condensed couple of days because Danny and I were actually doing a two-man show that we originally had in New York called From Darkness to a Dream, where we use some of my stuff from the 70s and 80s and then his contemporary stuff and we mixed and matched it all up together and it works beautifully. It was I think we both have the same soul or something because it worked beautifully. And
mm-hmm.
And Danny's a good friend and a brilliant artist. So we did the show in New York and we took it to Sweden. Anyway, we were in Gothenburg, and in the afternoon we were at the gallery, like we're going to do Sunday at the museum. We were greeting people and, you know, talking about our work and signing a few things and just, you know, doing our thing. But then in the afternoon, after the afternoon was over, we rushed over to Ullevi Stadium that holds like 70,000 people and got backstage and then up on the stage to photograph Bruce and from the wings. And at one point Danny was on one wing and I was on the other wing and then at the other point we were together in one wing just kind of shooting from that angle and it's a tremendous perspective when you're up on stage looking out and seeing what Bruce sees and
right.
seeing 70,000
oh,
people
amazing
just you know, all in harmony and unison, and these people from all over Europe, many people from the U.S. as well, I'm sure, but people from all over Europe, and they all knew the words to every one of his songs, and they were
right,
all singing, and it was a magical thing, and you know, it was a very special night, and
yeah.
Bruce, you could tell that it was, you know, Bruce enjoyed it, he was having fun, and
mm-hmm.
And I got, you know, Danny and I both. You know, got some beautiful photographs from that from that concert.
Right.
And then we
well,
came
I was
back,
on the...
and then I came back to the U.S. and a few weeks later, or a month later, whatever it was, I went over to Philadelphia to photograph Bruce from the front of the stage at Citizens Bank Park when he did that show, and that was a lot of fun. So, we do what we do.
Right. Right. Well, I've never been right on in the middle.
Among all those things, I've been taking some pictures of Willie Nile and Willie's got a great friend Christina Aragone from Italy who's been doing some magnificent photographs of Willie and his band. She's just brilliant. And
did she do his album, his last album cover?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
had the car on it because that was phenomenal.
The last two albums.
Yeah, that was phenomenal, just phenomenal. Yeah, I've got his albums. He sent them to me. So, but I want to mention too, Frank, that you are the author of the book Days of Hopes and Dreams, an intimate portrait of Bruce Springsteen, which was recently been released in the second edition, and that you also are the author of Patti Smith, American Artist, which features beautiful images of a young emerging artist, Miss Smith, from 1970 to 1980. So I wanted to mention those are available too for anyone that wants to go and buy them. Where are they available?
The best bet is just go on Amazon and order them through Amazon.
Okay, cool.
Get the best
very
price,
cool.
And you get them mailed to you. You don't even have to go try to find a bookstore that's still open.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
However, if you're in New York, I think Rizzoli's or, you know, one of the classic bookstores
mm-hmm.
or Barnes
mm-hmm.
& Noble, some of the bookstores, the brick-and-mortar stores that are still up should be,
right.
you know, people should support those places because once we lose books, we lose our history, you know. I mean, it's all online, but it's not the same as picking
no,
up a good book.
I like to touch it and feel it and smell it. A new book, I have to smell the new book. Even when I was in grammar school.
Especially these big coffee table photography books that have a lot extra smell in them.
Yeah, well, I have some books like that on my I have coffee table books still to this day. So, and they're very, I treasure them and I really like them. So, if you ever want to send me a present, you can get my address. And I'll add yours to the list of my favorites. I have 3 favorites on there. And then I have one that I haven't even opened yet from a visitor, another visitor, a very young Bruce Springsteen fan who, when she came with her mother, and I looked at her and I picked them up at the Berkeley Carteret, and I looked and I said, oh my God, how old are you? And she said, I'm 16. And when she was 15, Bruce, you know how he goes across and picks her
yeah.
out of this crowd, and they do a video. So, and then she meets Vinny, and she's got Vinny as her, you know, in her profile photo. So that's how I met her. And we've been friends now for 3 years on Facebook, and I visited last summer, and I spent like 2 days with them, and it was just phenomenal.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because when I was photographing in Philadelphia at that show, excuse me, in the show the summer of 2012, there was a young man, a boy, that Bruce hiked up on his shoulder. I think his name was Evan Eisenberg or something like that. And I managed to get a really great shot of the kid. He was exuberant with his hand, you know, his hand up because he was so happy. And Bruce,
right.
you know, got this kid up on his shoulder, and it came out beautiful. Well, through Facebook, I think it was through Facebook, or I'm pretty sure, his father got in touch with me, and so, you know, I was able to send them a photograph so they could have it, to remember the event by.
Right. That's great. That's great.
And it's not, there's, I guess if you were hoisted up on Bruce Springsteen's shoulder, you would want a photograph of that for you.
I have a better
ball.
Story, but we didn't get a photograph. And it was way before. It was at Big Man West at the grand opening, because my brother was in the band, of course, and we were backstage, and Bruce came, and it was New Year's Eve, and he came backstage, and somebody introduced me and said, oh, this is Nancy Ryan, and he goes, what? He goes, another Ryan girl? Because there's 4 of us. And I said exactly this. I said, oh, yes. I said, but I'm the prettiest, the most intelligent, and not at all conceited. And anyway, this is a true story. And then so he's looking at his watch, and I remember exactly what he had on, and he gets really close to me. And I was very young and attractive in those days. I think I still am attractive, even though I'm not young anymore. But at midnight, and he was single, totally single, he leaned in and he gave me a very gentlemanly, very nice kiss right on my lips. Girls, you can be as jealous as you want. It's just the way it goes. And he just said, Happy New Year, Nancy. And I said, Happy New Year, Bruce, you know, and that was that. And then they went back on stage, and then I did my thing, and I didn't see him till I'm not sure when I saw him the next time. But anyway, my brother and he are still very good friends, and they hung out a lot in his early career. My brother's not even here. He's in Vermont. By the way, my brother Billy, you know, he's way up on the top of a mountain in Vermont. Yeah, I should put you two together. You should go up there and just travel around. He's got like 12
well,
and a half acres.
My brother lives in New Hampshire, so
I
always go
good.
Up and cross the Green Mountains and go that way into New Hampshire.
Right.
So. Yep.
Okay, well, Bruce, I hope it's okay with you that I'm telling this story. I kept it a secret for so long. I kept it a secret up until like last year, I think, and then I was doing a show. I don't know if it was with Vinny or somebody, and I don't know how it came out, but, you know, everybody talks about Bruce. And so, you know, then I said, well, okay, ladies, and I don't know. It just came out, and then I thought, well, why shouldn't I tell the story? Well, I have many stories, but anyway, that's one of them. I'm writing a book. But anyway, I was in that documentary. So I got to get you hooked up with Italy. Maybe, you know, she's going to maybe be doing some Skype things. My friend Alessandra DeCampi in Italy, she's doing a documentary. So maybe I can hook you up with her. And it was really great. That's how I met Danny Clinch. I did an interview. I did probably half an hour. And then after that, she did an interview with Danny Clinch. He was inside Convention Hall, and he was doing a show, you know, having a show.
One
he had a little room there.
Yeah,
one of the shows. And so I met him there, and so, oh, yeah, he's definitely already agreed to be on my show. So I'm just so busy. I'm booked 2 months in advance already, so I have to get in touch with him now and say, you know, you want to come in November. But with that, I have to go because they, you know, I don't want them to cut me off because I have, like, 5 nonprofits to, because I have been doing nonprofits forever. So I want to thank you so much since the beginning,
well,
Weather.
Thank you for
I'm
having
going
me
back.
On, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I was so thrilled when I sent you the message and you said yes immediately. I was so happy that you agreed to come on the
it
show.
It sounded like fun.
Oh, I'm sure everyone loves it, and I'm going to be promoting it the same way I promoted this event, and it will be on my Nancy Ryan page, like, within 5 minutes after I, like, get off here so they can prepare it, and it will be on there, and then I'm going to take it and promote it, and it will be everywhere for all over the world again promoted. So all they have to do is this. They don't have to go to a website. I make it very easy for people to listen. They see the Ryan Rocks It with Frank Stefanko or my show. They click on it, and it starts, and they listen. It's that easy. So thank you again, Frank, for giving me this time. I appreciate it very much. And feel free to go and put anything you want on any of my pages. And this will also go on my LinkedIn and my Twitter pages as well.
Sounds good.
Okay. Take care.
You take good care.
Okay. Bye-bye. I'm good. You can stay on and listen to my nonprofits if you want, but I'm going to do them real fast, and then I'm going. Helping Hands of New Jersey. You're going to go.
Yep.
But you go okay, and enjoy your evening. Bye-bye
you
now.
Too.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Helping Hands of New Jersey, Gregory and Karen Nixon. Minister Steve of Tent City. City of Angels, Allison Saho. Also, Hometown Heroes. And Ocean Monmouth County Food Bank, or Monmouth Ocean County Food Bank, I think that's what it is called. All of them are on Facebook. Please, please, if you have any extra time whatsoever and you want to feel really happy and joyous, if you give of your time or whatever it is that you can give of, get in touch with any one of them. And I hope I didn't – oh, I did forget my friend Beverly Cruz. She's right up here, and she is now – it used to be Towels for Tenderness, and now it's Hitting the Streets for the Homeless. And Hitting the Streets for the Homeless, they go out, and they just don't go into New Jersey. They go into New York, and they help people. And that's what it's all about, helping our brothers and sisters. All right, everybody, this is Nancy Ryan. Ryan Rocks It, Asbury Park Style, signing off. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And if you want to be a guest, just send me a private message and we'll see what we can do. Bye-bye, everybody.